Yeah, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. I apologize, our usual co-host, Hannah, is under the weather. She won't be here tonight. And it sucks because she's missing one of the most rocking shows we ever have. And she is Mrs. Metal, and she's missing out on our guest straight from the land of the Vikings. He's laughing, and I don't know why he's laughing, but here he is. That's Rocky Kramer.
Woo!
And I'm going to put this over here. This is Rocky's new album that's coming out very soon, Firestorm. His video for Rockstar is just about to come out, and he's just about to tour Europe with Buck Cherry. It's a pretty exciting time.
Hell yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, you do talk. Okay, good.
I do, sometimes.
Yes. And you're straight, you're, I keep saying, Denmark, but that is not right.
Norway.
You're from Norway. I keep saying Denmark. You're from Norway. I keep thinking.
You know, everybody gets that wrong, and that's okay, because I've heard Finland a lot. Holland, Netherlands.
Right.
UK, Spain.
No, there's no rock stars from Finland.
Of course there are.
Are there?
Or the metalheads.
Is that where the black metal and all that
very,
is?
Very, very depressing music.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. And then
they love it.
Those are my people.
Oh, yeah.
But we've also got some special guests. This is really weird, because I had a friend. I used to do a show at Skid Row Studios downtown, and my friend Jeremy kept texting me in a frenzy, said, there's a comedy show downtown at the five-star bar, and you have to meet this Angela. And I thought, for some reason, and by the way, good thing that I met Angela. Here she is.
Hello.
I'm sure we have, I'm going to put the camera on you, because you're beautiful.
Thanks.
Especially, we got three guys, so and you, so there, look at you. Plus, you're all tattooed up, you got the piercings, we're going to talk about that. But Angela, I think we've probably crossed paths at some point.
Oh, for sure, definitely.
But you're not a comedian. I was under the impression that you were.
No, not at all. I just support them.
Yes. So but you do a show at the five.
Yeah.
Star
yeah,
bar
I put
downtown.
The whole show together pretty much.
Because I performed there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not on comedy night. I've opened for bands, and that's a rough one. But I think the comedy night's better. And you brought one of the top comedians, which I think we've crossed paths at some point, because you look very familiar.
Mostly.
But here he is. And he's, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been on Showtime.
Yes, sir.
And you have put together a Native American comedy tour. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I'm guilty.
Okay, that's J.R. Redwater. Very, very mellow tonight.
I'm not from Scandinavia either.
Yeah, where are you from, J.R.?
From South Dakota.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cold there, so it feels like Scandinavia.
Yeah, I think maybe the two of you probably have a lot of snow stories that we can come across another time. But
it's like Olaf, you know?
Yeah, we both have pet penguins.
yeah, you're both, and there's a reason that you're both in L.A. But before I get started, one thing I got to do, I got to do a couple things. One, and we'll see if this follows me around here. There we go. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS. I'll repeat that. audibletrial.com/DMS. I'm going to Vegas this weekend, so I'm going to be listening to a lot of audiobooks. Audible does not have just audiobooks. They have comedy albums from everybody. They got Brian Posehn. They've got Tig Notaro, they've got Louis C.K. Well, actually, they don't have Louis C.K. They took him and Bill Cosby off. But they do have George Carlin.
I love Kevin. Tig.
Yes, her comedy album. You want to get her comedy album free?
She's awesome, yeah.
You want to get her comedy album free?
On Audible?
Go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Not only that, you get one book or comedy album, and you get two Audible originals. They have an Audible original of Bob Newhart interviewing Sarah Silverman, Will Ferrell, and other comedians. They have a science fiction book read by John Waters. They have a science fiction book narrated by Zachary Quinto from Star Trek. They've got everything. They've got a continuation of the Alien Saga with Rutger Hauer as one of the voices. You can get any book or comedy album and two Audible originals free. They got over 400,000. So just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. I'm giving you something free. Take it.
And I just that just means I gotta upload the app again, because I just uninstalled.
All right. Anyway, whatever you gotta do. And also, they got books on metal. They
now
got
I have
books
a
on
reason,
Norway.
Though. You know?
You do. Anybody vegan in the room?
No.
No, you don't have to be, because our other sponsor is Doomy's Home Cooking. Doomy's Home Cooking. You don't have to be a vegan to enjoy it. It's the best. It's the best vegan food I've ever had. You like flautas? Do you like burritos? Do you like shrimp po' boys, pulled pork sandwiches, chicken parmesan,
fries.
Big Macs. Oh, the fries. Wait a second. Vegan chili cheese fries. Let me tell you, sir. They're the best. Go to 1253 Vine Street on the corner of Fountain and Vine. Doomy's Home Cooking. They also have another restaurant in Culver City and Toronto, Canada. I had a chili cheese fries. I don't know how they do it. The guy's a genius. A genius. Yeah. Amazing. And you've been to Das Bunker?
No.
But you've heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. There's an industrial club called Das Bunker. You guys don't have to worry about that. But they have Das Baker that works for Doomy's Home Cooking. Bakes vegan desserts. Chocolate cake, carrot cake.
Yum.
Deep fried Oreos. It's the best. Go to 1253 Vine Street, Doomy's Home Cooking, or go to Culver City, or go to Toronto, Canada. With that out of the way, here's the man, Rocky Kramer.
Hey.
You got to work on it, dude. Where's the rock star energy?
Yeah, let's do it.
No. You got a fascinating story. I've been researching you all week.
All right.
Not only do you shred on guitar, not only are you a terrific singer, not only are you from Norway, the land of the Vikings, but your mother and father, what a love story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rocky's father is a violin player in the symphony orchestra.
Yes.
Has been for years, right?
Well, he actually just retired, but he was first violinist for 42 years.
So he was the first violinist they ever had. First violinist.
First violinist is the first group of violinists. It's like about 10 or 12. It depends on the size of the orchestra.
Okay, because I don't know classical music, so it's kind of like lead guitarist. So
that's when you go to if you've ever been to a concert and mm-hmm. to see the symphony, the violinists that are up front. Mm-hmm. Those are the first violinists.
Okay.
So they get to do all the melodies and everything.
So they're like kind of like lead guitar.
They're considered to be the best violinist in that orchestra.
So. Right, and he met your mother.
And they met through music.
Right,
she was singing in a choir, so they were performing together, and you know they started talking, became friends, and well, there you go, got married.
One thing led to another, and here we have this rock star, Rocky Kramer.
Of course, it was amazing, right?
That's quite a musical love story. It is really when I read that, it was really touching mm-hmm. to hear that because I've done so many comedy shows and that's never happened with me and another comedian, but that's another story altogether. But so there's two accomplished musicians now. Your mother was an accomplished piano player, mm-hmm. apparently a beautiful singer, and unfortunately she passed away when you were a young child.
Yes.
So your father had to
raise two boys on his own.
In Norway. Yeah. And this the other story that I've read. When you were 5 years old, how much older is your brother?
He's 2 years older. Almost. Our birthdays are 3 days apart.
Okay. So he was seven.
He was seven, yes.
And your father was trying to teach him to play violin, and for a seven-year-old, that's tough. For a five-year-old mm-hmm. like you, you grabbed it, and what happened?
Well, I guess I learned a lot through observation, and I was watching my brother, when you try the violin for the first time, what you want to try is to move the bow, and you move the finger up and down on one string, and it'll be like, kind of like an ambulance, like a siren almost.
Right, right. I can't even make that noise with my mouth, but that's
well, you know, I got to do it somehow, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a violin with me.
No, I was hoping you would. Okay. Yeah.
So, I was watching this and I was thinking, you know, just doing it in the air, just thinking I can do that.
Right.
And so I was like, give me a shot. Let me try that. And I did it. It was immediately. And so, that's how I started playing the violin.
Now,
taking lessons and everything, learning how to read and write music.
Did your father envision you taking his place in the orchestra?
Probably.
Yeah.
I actually did through the my teacher had me play with the orchestra. It was like they took the orchestra and they doubled it in size by having students. Oh, young,
right,
I was 12.
Right.
So everybody worked. So every person in the orchestra had an extra seat next to them with a child playing the same
right.
instrument. So
take your child to the symphony day.
So I actually did play. I didn't play with next to my dad, but I did play
right.
with the orchestra. So that was a very interesting experience.
That's got to be overwhelming.
Now I got to tell you this. I was 12, and I just wanted to be a guitar player. So at one point in this long piece, I don't remember how long it was. It was pretty long. There was a guitar solo.
Right.
So I'm just playing violin, and I look over, and there's this guy going, You know, I'm thinking, I want to be that guy.
Is that that's what got you on the guitar? Really? Yeah. So, really? Were you aware of? Did you like guitar playing before then, or is that the moment?
It wasn't the moment, but it was. But that tells you where my mind was at.
Right.
So
even playing with a symphony orchestra and being in the pocket with all those players, because everybody
we're
has
all
to
playing
be
together,
synced.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to be the guitar player to a song.
I want to be that guy.
Right.
Whoever that was. I didn't know who he was, but I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And how did your father react when you're like, I want to play guitar, I don't want to play violin?
Well, he wasn't happy with it at first.
Yeah.
Because he wanted me to focus on the violin. And he really wanted me to enjoy it. He did, because he was so passionate about it. He started when he was 14. I started when I was about, you know, five, six, seven. So he just wanted me to be passionate about something that he was passionate about.
Right.
Or if he is, it still is. Even though he's retired, he still plays.
Oh, sure.
So
I would hope so, yeah.
Not as much as he used to, but he's still, because he enjoys it. And that's how he wanted me to feel, except I felt that way about the guitar.
Right.
So
he got over it, and he's like, well, I want you to be passionate about whatever music you're passionate about.
So, you know, he realized that, you know, I loved the guitar, and I would play guitar hours and hours every day.
Right.
And I would play violin maybe 20 minutes.
Right. So you played the guitar with the same passion that he played violin.
Exactly.
Right. I've seen YouTube clips of you playing. Interesting. You've been playing like Billie Jean, you're playing like Gonna Fly Now, you're playing like Nirvana, but in your own style.
Sure.
Shredding on Billie Jean.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't seen it, if you go to YouTube, you can see me basically do covers of famous songs, and I just improvise a guitar solo over it.
Right.
Kind of, you know, so it's my thing. You know?
Right. It's
but it's something familiar, something you know.
Right. It's everything from White Stripes to, just you got a little bit of everything.
It's anything that I can loop.
Right.
So.
Anyway, let me introduce you here to Angela, because I want to get to know you more. And obviously. No, but you've been in... apparently, you know Hannah, our co-host, very well.
Yeah.
You guys used to hang out and cause trouble.
Yeah, a lot. Like 4 years ago or something. Yeah, partying all night.
Really?
Yeah.
The Rainbow.
Yeah,
Bar
the
Sinister.
Rainbow, Bar Sinister, like everywhere.
Right. Yeah. So how did you get? How did you end up from Party Girl to promoting comedy, but you're not a comedian?
Well, because I bartend at the bar also.
Right.
So I mean, you know.
How long have you been bartending there?
I've been bartending for 2.5 years.
Okay.
But I've been bartending for like 6 years. Like,
oh, okay.
Total,
so you missed me when I was I was there. Symbol 6, the punk band, had a record release party, and I performed there. And
nice.
Then there was another night where they had like kind of comedy and music, and I didn't that.
Yeah,
one
we're not really summer. Doing that too much anymore. Like I took over like all the comedy.
It really needs to separate. Now you love comedy.
Yes.
Who's your favorite comedian? I mean, not that you would book, like your favorite comedian, like you would see on TV, famous comedian.
Hmm.
So I know you like JR, and we're going to talk about JR in a second.
I mean, he's great. Famous comedian? I'm not too sure. But, like, there's just too many. I mean,
trust me, you're telling us.
Yeah.
But everybody's doing comedy.
Dave Chappelle, you know?
Dave Chappelle? Sure,
I think he's really great.
Yeah.
Lucy K was great, but now everybody doesn't think so.
Well, he's great until he masturbates in front of you. And then that's not that good. So, what's the weirdest thing? You're bartending downtown.
Yeah.
A 5-star bar can get a little rough sometimes.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Tell us the wildest thing that happened at the 5-star bar.
I've seen people get maced. Oh, when the Dead Boys played. That was kind of crazy.
Okay, the Dead Boys, the punk band.
Yeah, the punk band. I studied for that one. And someone
how are they looking at Dead Boys?
Old. And
Sonic Reducer.
Yeah. So they were.
I forgot how the next line. Yeah.
Oh my God! Someone grabbed like one of their mics.
Ooh.
And then they like grabbed the mic and started hitting the guy that like was trying to grab it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and they jumped off stage and like
60-year-old guys jumped off stage to beat up other 60-year-old guys.
The crowd was much younger.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I'm
totally
kidding,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
they're still punk rock.
Yeah, totally punk rock for sure. Yeah, but downtown is just wild, regardless.
I know. It's And the five-star bar, I remember people were telling me about it, and I was like...
There's so many crazy, wild stories.
Well, tell me another one. I want to hear this. Because I used to bartend, and it's not fun. It can be fun.
I mean, that place is, like, haunted also.
Oh, tell me more.
I mean, because
you're a goth girl. You must like that.
Yeah, sure, but, you know.
Have you seen ghosts at the five-star bar?
No. I've just heard, like, really weird noises, and I'm like... lights flashing, and then like I'll turn off the jukebox, and then I'll like be closing up, and then it's on.
Right.
And I'm like, no, I turned it off.
So now that you mentioned it, I think there was like a weird, like something happened, like the lights went off and they went back on when I performed there.
Yeah.
So weird.
It's really weird.
I mean, it could be just like old wiring.
We redid everything recently, all the sound and everything.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So how did you come across JR?
He stumbled into the bar.
That's a nice way to put it. That's a nice way to put it.
Guys, okay? I'm Native American.
You stumbled into the bar. Into the bar. But you're funny, though.
Hey, honey.
It's interesting. Native Americans, you would think there'd be more Native American comedians. I mean, I know Larry Omaha. You know, yeah, he's great. There's another guy I forgot that used to be at the Comedy Store like in the 80s. What was it?
Charlie Hill.
Charlie Hill was great. And now you kind of assembled all the other...
Well, what happened was I kind of rolled into town like in 99, you know.
Where'd you roll in from?
South Dakota.
South Dakota. I should pay attention to this.
Yeah. I'm one of those guys that came on a bus, you know.
Right.
You with the dream, you know. So.
And 20 years later, how's it going? You've been on Showtime, you're doing good.
I gotta tell you, you know, like for a guy who's been unknown for a long time, and then it's been really freaking good, man. Like I'm living a dream. And
well, like Rocky, it's something that you are passionate about and you want to do. You have to do.
Well, you know, like ever since second grade, everybody, like he has his story, you know. And
let's hear your story.
When I was in second grade, I was like in this white elementary school, you know, because my parents were going to university. So we moved off the reservation. And then it was like, everybody was saying, you're funny. You should be a comedian. I'm in second grade. I didn't even know what a comedian was yet, you know?
I learn my ABCs first? Thanks.
Yeah, you know, like, it was because how I sound, you know? Like, I always sound like I'm drunk, you know? But I'm not. I'm just high. Yeah.
I was going to say, pretty mellow.
So that's how the delivery comes across. And I get real physical on stage, and...
I'm picking up this voice. We've done shows before.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one voice like this, you know.
So I don't know if it's a Comedy Store. I'm trying to.
It was a complex for me, like
really the way you talk.
Yeah, all the kids used to be like growing up, like you sound funny, like you know, slow.
Let's be honest, Rocky's from Norway. His English is better than yours. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, hey, you know,
that's because I went to school in Norway.
Yeah, they teach English there.
They do, yeah.
Okay, all right. Wouldn't it be weird if he went to, like, all Native American school in Norway and just him?
Well, you know, I was married to a white woman for a long time.
How was that?
12 and a half years. She's German-Irish. Ooh, they got
Yeah,
temper.
No, that's, they, I was going to say.
That's a bad temper right there.
That's a, wow. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, like, yeah, so I get white people.
Bad temper, actually, bad temper, bad cook.
Well, I moved to Orange County, you know, and so that's where
I've
been living. Yeah, man.
Oh,
I got six kids, yo. They're all grown up, you know. I mean, we're trying to take the country back, and so got to make a lot
overpopulation
of
overpopulation will do that.
So,
now, wait a second. Now, you got six kids.
Yeah.
You've been doing comedy for 20 years.
18
years. Okay, so you said 99. I was doing.
Well, it was like I started in 01 in the beginning.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I kind of got established before I could like get out and be funny.
Right.
You know?
So you've been doing it the whole time with kids.
Yeah, you know, as a family man, honestly, so I'm quite domesticated. but you know, but I'm like Rocky. I'm living a rock star life. you know, so.
Six kids, not the rock star life. That's all.
Hey, I'm telling you, you can have kids all over the world and still be a rock star.
All right, well, there you go. You're like Mick Jagger, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like a Mick Jagger. Yeah,
yeah, he's the Mick Jagger comedy.
Like, it's funny, my ex, she told my kid, she's all like, don't be surprised if someone comes up to you later in life and they're like half Japanese and native saying they're your brother or sister.
Dad?
I'm like, what?
Yeah. Nice. So, you've been all over the world. So.
Yeah, I used to live in Japan, so that's kind of, yeah.
Really? When was this?
I was in the Navy before I came here. You
oh,
know?
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
I was in the Middle East a few times. And,
okay, so there could be, who knows?
You never know.
I just might have a couple of Americans
out,
in there.
I got kicked out of Singapore, you know. So.
Well, wait a second. Before we get back to Rocky, I got to hear this now. How do you get kicked out of Singapore? That seems impossible.
You know, it's just like you start out with 50 cent Mai Tais, you know, all
right.
day.
No, I got that.
And then all of a sudden, you're in a bar with all your buddies, and then supposedly you slap somebody on the ass, and
supposedly.
The cops come, yeah. and then you run, and then they chase you, and then they get you, and then they keep you in jail all night. Then the Navy officers, like the jaguars, come and get you out.
Oh,
so
then
you go to war.
Yeah, they weren't happy with that.
So, yeah, I'm kicked out of there. Yeah.
Well, at least you got to go to Singapore before the war. It would suck the other way around.
Well, it was like I went to Singapore 3 times.
All right.
That was my 3rd time. So the 3rd okay. time I didn't do so well, you know.
All right. I thought it had something to do with the girly boys, but I who knows?
Nah, you know, I was in the Middle East 3 times on active duty, so.
Yeah,
but
thank you for your service.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know, that's like where the discipline comes from to do this job. You know,
yeah.
It's like you have to be very disciplined. And
yeah, I got to go to the Army now.
You know, I actually went back in 2008 and I did a 10-day tour
USO,
in Iraq
yeah.
for USO. Made the troops laugh. Performing Saddam Hussein's. What do you call it? Theater outside of Baghdad.
Oh, he's got a theater?
Yeah, yeah. He's got palaces, theaters.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
So, yeah, I was there. This is a good job, man. I love this job.
Well, anywhere you can get to see Saddam Hussein's theater, that's a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's got a good job, too, the rock star. Now, where we left off, you were you've done the guitar now. Your father, from what I read, your father got you a Les Paul, or somebody got you a Les Paul. That was your first guitar.
I actually saved up my own money for that. And,
okay,
it wasn't a Les Paul. It's a Les Paul double cut. It was a very cheap guitar. It was all I could afford.
Right.
It wasn't what I wanted, but
right.
I moved on quickly to getting a Fender Strat.
Right.
Which is what I still play.
Because I when I first saw you and first heard about you and first heard you were from Norway, I was like, wait a second, he's got to be influenced by Yngwie Malmsteen.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Right.
We can talk about Yngwie as much as you want.
Let's talk about him. Well, he's from Norway. Is he from Norway? He's from Norway.
So
right?
he's from Sweden. He's from
Sweden. Well, that's close.
He's from Stockholm, yeah.
Okay, well, it's close. But I mean, I don't know if you guys remember Yngwie Malmsteen from the 80s, but he was the fastest guitar player. Like Eddie Van Halen was fast.
Whoa.
Steve Vai was faster. Mm-hmm. This guy was faster than him. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of guitar players, and every guitar player just worships him. And every musician I've ever heard is also inspired by a band called Dream Theater, who I've never heard. But I should probably listen to them too, huh?
You should.
Yeah?
Definitely.
So it's very technical, the guitar playing.
Mm-hmm.
And Yngwie Malmsteen plays a Strat.
He does.
And that's why you want to play a Strat?
There were two guitar players that made me want to play the Strat, and that was Yngwie Malmsteen and David Gilmour.
Right, from Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Right.
So, before that, I didn't think it was a guitar for rock, and that was a complete
right.
It was wrong, because a lot of metal and rock guitar players use the Strat. You know?
Yeah, it's basically two kinds of the two real major guitars, or every guitar is kind of a variation of Les Paul or Strat. And you don't play like, I'm looking at your album cover, you're not playing, it's been modified.
So this is the,
your guitar.
I like to call it, you know, you have the Super Strat, which is, you know, all the Ibanezes and all that stuff. And I call it the Hyper Strat.
Right.
And it's another step. above. It's a triple humbucker Strat.
Okay.
Which is kind of a, it's a tribute to Ace Frehley.
Right.
From Kiss, because Kiss was one of my very early influences.
Right.
And I just love the look of three humbuckers. Now, that was on a Les Paul. So right. I said, I haven't seen anyone playing a Strat with three humbuckers. I mean, maybe that should be my thing.
Right. And I'm trying to think if I can think of people that have. I've seen people with the two humbuckers and the like the,
and the single coil in
yeah,
the middle.
I've seen Iron Maiden.
That's a lot more common. Right. Dave Murray does that.
So it's kind of you've kind of got the best of both worlds because you got the humbuckers, mm-hmm. which Les Pauls have, and the Strat body, and of course the whammy bar, which when I first got a guitar, I got a Strat because I didn't really learn. I just kind of like I tried to learn.
You're a comedian. You wish you were a rock star.
I took a couple lessons and like basically. You know, for a year, I just kind of went, just did that. So
that's all I did, too. I bought an acoustic, and I just fucked around on it for a year. I wasn't even, like I wanted to learn, but it was like, you know,
it was hard.
Can I just make some fucking noise with it?
Right. You know, so. Did you make noise with it?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, I just bought my son a Fender, you know? Like, it was an old classic, no pickup on it, nothing but...
Like a Telecaster or...
An acoustic?
Acoustic, yeah. Okay. It was pretty cool, you know. He graduated high school, so I was like, yeah, I'll buy you something, you know. And I ordered it off the Goodwill website, you know.
Oh, that's great.
So it's like I had to bid for it, but like, hey, I want it, you know.
Goodwill's got a website?
It was beautiful.
I didn't know about this.
Wow.
Oh, no. And the thing about Goodwill website, like let's say if you found a Fender that's really worth $5,000, they can't sell it for five because they're a nonprofit.
Right.
So they have to sell that for like $250, $300. So you're gonna really find good deals. It's just that you have to bid against other people.
Right. Well, that's
so. Hey, everybody out there, go do that.
And then when that box arrives at your door that says Goodwill.
Yeah, and then it was like, whoa, it was an original, case. I was like, has all the cereal numbers. Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. He still has it. All his buddies, they rock out. He's a skateboarder, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. Kind of like cousin.
My cousin, yeah. P-Rod.
Your cousin.
Paul Rodriguez, yeah.
Paul Rodriguez
Jr.
Wait, your cousin is Paul Rodriguez?
Yeah, or my uncle is Paul Rodriguez.
Right, but Paul Rodriguez is a skater.
Yeah, like Paul Rodriguez. No,
Paul Rodriguez, the comedian.
The comedian is his my son, uncle. So he's my cousin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wait a second. We must have talked, because I remember, we must have talked to Bart Sinister or something, because I think I remember this story.
Yeah.
Paul Rodriguez, the comedian, is your uncle.
Uh-huh, yes.
And Paul, I don't know why I was banging on the table. Paul Rodriguez, the comedian, is your uncle.
Because you're trying to remember. Yeah.
I swear we had
sometimes that helps. It's like
you're like Paul Rodriguez is the skater, and I'm like, well, and then we had this whole like, no, my uncle, my cousin, the whole thing. But yeah, no, I mean, actually, it's kind of weird that Paul Rodriguez the skater has kind of become more famous than Paul Rodriguez the comedian.
Oh my god, yeah,
it's amazing.
Who was famous
enough? Really
well.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
Really well.
So that's quite a family.
Right.
Yeah. Did they ever come into the 5-star bar?
Oh, man, I want to get him in. I just send him flyers every time I do a show, and I'm like, I hope he comes in. But I just went to go see him like last month, and then JR saw him recently. He did a pop-in.
Well, he's great, yeah.
You know, somewhere. And then I'm going to go see him again on the 10th. Yeah. So when I see him on the 10th, I'm going to tell him, like, hey, come be one of my special guests.
Well, hey, tell him I'm one of his biggest fans.
Right?
Give him on the Dark Mark show.
My God.
We can all hang out.
Maybe he would love it.
Maybe I'll try to contact him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so your son is going to be a rock star, which brings us to your first single.
My son's a rapper too.
Oh,
like
oh,
so
there
he plays guitar, and he's like 6'2", so he's way better looking than me, and like you know, like you gotta have it going on, and he could and his buddies they shred, and then they all like they're jumping off, you know, landings with their boards and.
How did you end up with a 6'2" good-looking son?
Well, you know, like I guess it's genes. Actually, he just his mom never knew her real dad, and she's half white and she's half Indian. So I only knew her mom, who's Indian. I never met her dad because she's never met him, and she just like her mom passed away, so. She just remembers his name was Thomas McKaylee, and he was Irish. and lived in Nebraska, right?
You don't say.
So then
Thomas McKaylee Irish.
She does just like last year. She did the 23andMe DNA test, and then all of a sudden, this dude, this white dude who's English, pops up on her profile, and it's her dad. She reaches out to him. They reunite. Now my kids have like a grandfather on that side. And he looks just exactly like my son.
There you go.
Tall, handsome. I'm like, that's where it gets a little.
That's it.
So my kids are part white, you know, so I kind of hate them a little. Well, you know,
I guess it's a little animosity. Yeah, your kids are keeping you down. I understand how it is.
Oppressive.
Oppressive. But yeah, so Rocky, now you signed with a very prestigious agency.
Mm-hmm.
You got
Allied Artists.
Allied Artists. Group, you've got Kim here, who's worked with everybody from Pink Floyd. Your hero is Pink Floyd. Now, you're a shredder, but you like Pink Floyd and you like other atmospheric music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you signed with them a while ago,
mm-hmm.
and your album's just coming out now. What have you been doing in those 6 or 7 years?
You know, the thing is, it's interesting because from my perspective, I've been doing all these different things, and we've been doing everything kind of secretively and not telling anybody.
Right.
So now, starting pretty much right now, we're going to just throw all this content out of all the things we've been doing, because we got the album, we got the music video,
right.
and
the single, out, yeah.
and we got, you know, the making of the album. We're doing the making of the music video. All these things that we're going to throw out there. That's going to show all the things we've been doing.
You've been working all of this stuff behind the
scenes.
All
this stuff they've been working on. So it's just, it's all going to come out at, pretty much at the same time, and then you're going to know.
Well, let's find out right now, because I'm going to play Rockstar, which is the first single.
This is the first single.
I saw the video. We all were watching the video, which is great. Very
awesome.
80s throwback, but a kind of a parody of the 80s. Kind of, it's got elements of Twisted Sister. So a little Van Halen, Hot for Teacher, if you're really in a weird mood. A little Let's Get Rocked by Def Leppard, kind of that type of thing. But sort of it's sort of a parody of that. But the song is great. Let's take a little listen to that. Rockstar.
Class, the bell has rung. Everybody come in and take your seats. I said to take your seats. This applies to you too, Mr. Kramer. I tell you what, I'm fed up with the shenanigans and the screwing around. Time to put on your thinking caps. Mr. Kramer, sit down, please.
Rocky.
Yeah.
We're going to leave you waiting for that solo. But Rockstar, that single's coming out. When is that coming out?
The single's coming out July 30th, and the music video is going to be out a few weeks before that.
Okay, yeah, definitely you want to check out the video. The video's got animation. It's crazy. It's fun. It's still playing behind us, so but we're gonna this is the real the commercial song on the album. There's it's a hit.
Yeah,
you think it's a hit? I think it's a hit.
This is the sort of the introduction to get you if you're not into the progressive just yet.
Yeah,
this is to give you this is the poppiest song, right, to give you a chance to get into the music, and then right, if you keep listening to the album, then you know it gets more progressive, it gets heavier.
Sure.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Now, here's the thing. You're a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
You were born in the 90s.
I'm like 17, 16.
No, you're not. But, I mean, there's all these influences from the 70s and 80s. Like, when you were in Norway, your contemporaries, your friends must have been into rap, must have been into EDM and other things. Grunge and... You don't like grunge?
Not really.
No, that's fine. I did like the Nirvana cover, but
oh well. I think Nirvana is definitely one of the better bands,
right?
Not just in grunge, but in rock in general,
so. Right? But you had some real heavy hitters producing the album.
Well, it was all produced by Kim Richards, who is with us.
Kim Richards, yeah. Kim Richards is. I definitely want to interview Kim Richards on his own. I got to do the proper research. There he is, right there. Hi, Kim.
He's here.
But it was also engineered by. Who's the guy that engineered it?
It was mostly Steve Ullman.
Steve Ullman,
who's engineered a lot of rock bands, Disturbed and.
Right.
He did. If you're familiar with the Black Album, is known for its drums. He actually helped making the drum samples that you can now buy if you want your album to sound like. The Black Album.
The Black Album from Metallica.
Yeah. Which was recorded in the same studio where I recorded.
Okay.
Which is now called Something Hurts.
I was going to say, yeah. That must have been something.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to release a documentary about it that gives you a taste for what it was like.
Right.
Which was inspired... You know, one of the things that inspired me growing up was watching Metallica record in that studio. So that was really one of the very few studios that I knew about. And particularly in LA, I didn't know much about LA before I came here. So seeing them record there became sort of like, that's how I imagined myself record. So it was like a dream come true to actually be there and record my album
secret.
There.
You manifested it.
So, you know, you got to, if you want to make your dreams come true, you got to know what they are. You know,
Exactly. Now I skipped all over that. When did you come to LA and what was that like?
It was, I came here in 2011.
Right.
So it's been a while. But yeah.
You were born in the 90s, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I was just a young pup.
So you're here, you're, 17, 18 or what have you, or whatever you're going to say your age was. But
I'm 21. I'm old enough to drink.
We got to go to the 5-star bar afterwards. Hey, you want some whiskey? Go right ahead. So, but we, you, No, but when you got here, was it? Did you already have some connections, or you just the cliche? You came here with a guitar on your back and like $500, and you're like, "I'm gonna make it."
Basically, I wanted to go to LA since I was 15, so I needed to figure out how, because the biggest problem is that if you're from another country, you can't work here.
Right.
And you can't stay here more than, I think it's 3 months if you don't have a visa. So
right.
I had to figure out, how can I be here longer than that and try to meet people? So I realized that the best way to do it was through a school. I went to an English school so I could work on my English and, go to Hollywood at night. Which I found out was not very convenient because I was in Redondo Beach.
Oh, wow.
So without a car, without a driver's license.
It's a long walk.
That's a $100 taxi ride.
Yeah. No,
so, yeah.
That's pretty Uber for the kids out there, yeah.
Which I don't even know if Uber existed when I first came here. I didn't know about it.
No, 2011. No, it was like probably 13, 14.
Yeah, Uber is something that, it's more recent.
Right.
So if Uber existed back then, I would have used it, I think.
Right. It's tough.
But it was tough, and it was really tough in the beginning because I didn't know anybody, and it was actually I was living with an old lady named Sonia, and She said, "Why are you here? You don't need to learn English."
Right.
So I said, "Well, I'm really here to meet people in the music industry."
Mm-hmm.
So she says, "You know, well, let me help." And I'm thinking, "Well, who is she going to know?"
Right.
So she calls around, calls her friends, and then the friends are calling other friends, and all of a sudden, I'm you know, fast forward to January of 2012, I'm at the Village recording studio with Mike Panera, who was the guitar player for Alice Cooper and Iron Butterfly.
Wow.
Blues Image. So all of a sudden,
you're doing a session.
We're there recording demos for this album.
Really?
So, and it was Mike that introduced me to Kim.
Right.
And then.
Then the ball started rolling.
And then Kim showed my music to Stefan Bauer, who was the president of the label.
Right.
The record label of Allied Artists Music Group. And then, you know, got signed and started first developing.
Who's this old lady, Stevie Nicks? Who are you living with?
Well, that's exactly. Well, exactly. It was. I mean, it's just very nice. And unfortunately, right. She passed away a few years ago. But very nice lady.
Aretha Franklin. I mean, who was
she? You know, she was a tennis teacher, and she actually her father was like was kind of sort of an actor in some of the very early movies.
Okay.
He was like a boxing guy. And
yeah.
So he's been in some movies. I want to say with like Charlie Chaplin or something. So
yeah, you never know who you're going to meet.
So you never know. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Yeah. And you, for you to be there at that time, I mean, it's just, it's destiny.
It's one of those things when, because there's people that grow up here that, you know, who haven't had the opportunities that I've had.
Right.
And I don't even know how that happens because. What did I do differently? So,
well,
who knows?
It's because you come from like a communist country. Well, they're probably
they're like Norway.
But,
yeah.
But you know, like I think people who live here are automatically taking their freedom for granted. You know.
Okay.
And because you're just
not Native Americans.
Not especially not me after I've even served as well. Yeah, you know. Right. So people say, why you serve? Why you do that? They took your country. I like. It's still our country.
It's,
you know, like we still have to fight for it too, you know. So,
right.
And plus, I mean, it runs in my blood, you know.
Yeah. Plus, a couple free trips to Singapore every now and then.
not no more.
I got that.
I doubt I'll ever be back.
So, you can't go back.
I just can't go back. Yeah. I'm banned. They were trying to give me 6 strokes of the cane. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like
they were gonna cane you.
Yeah, the Attorney General of Singapore pulled me in his office in a high rise and with the 2 JAG officers, and they're like, they say they're gonna punish you when they get you back. So I'm gonna let you go. He says, but I don't have to. I could keep you. I could give you 2 years in a Singapore prison. You know. And 6 strokes of the cane, $2,000 fine.
Wow.
So he shows me in the law book. You know. And the girl whose ass I apparently slapped, I was like blacked out.
Wait a second. In the law book, it says slap ass.
Yeah.
You
it's
get,
called
you
like
get
indecent assault or something
6 strokes
like that.
Of
it's
a
called,
cane,
you know?
$2,000 yeah. And 2 years in prison.
Hey, and in their prisons, you're eating fish heads, I guess.
E pluribus unum.
Yeah. And then they take this long bamboo stick, like 10 foot long.
Yeah.
And they have this like trained martial artist who flies from across the room. You're bent over.
Oh, so
it's ass revealed.
Right.
And he just, and the bamboo's frayed at the end. So
well, I know.
When
yeah,
he
yeah,
hits
yeah,
you,
yeah.
It just like rips you open.
So it's not
and
just
And I
some,
guess the
yeah.
people pass out on the first hit. And I was like, I remember the guy who was tagging cars over there,
right,
American,
right,
and
yeah.
They caned him. And
every now and then they'll cane an American. It's horrible.
So that's what I automatically thought went through my head. I was like,
but they've got a trained martial artist,
yeah.
to do that. It's not just
I was
some
like,
cop.
I'm gonna be on CNN getting my freaking native ass ripped open, you
right,
know. So
right.
yeah, you know, I'm glad I didn't. So
yeah, I'm glad you didn't either. That would have been awful.
Yeah.
So but that's probably where I met Angela's, like say, at Bar Sinister or something.
Yeah,
where
the upstairs room.
You've seen a few of those things. Now, are you into that stuff? You're into...
Oh, no. I mean, I would watch, you know. I know.
Right, right.
But yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like almost all the time I would go to Bar Sinister, it'd be like, oh, well, I guess it's a weird night where you don't have DJs, but we have like S&M stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm down here.
It's always like the other way around when I go. Like they never start that till like 12:30.
Really? You know, those party days.
Yeah, well, I have never outgrown them, but I should go to a 5-star bar where I get party
exactly
with adults.
Outgrown my party days, you know.
Oh, really?
Still,
tell.
I mean, still partying at the 5-star.
Yeah,
I might be working, but you know, yeah, it's a good time.
It is, yeah.
The 5-star is pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, no, I've been
to a lot of dives, and this is like the top.
It's really good.
I mean, all over the world too. And
right,
what's cool about this place is so nostalgic. Is like it's an old hotel, and you know, there's like an underground, you know, basement and
right,
whatnot, and it's just. I mean, it's so cool to be up there on that stage because you don't know who started there or whatever. You could just feel the history.
Oh, sure. That's
and
like,
so
yeah,
when I go in there, I have like a rock star attitude, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, one thing I never do is like mosh and shit like that because I'm getting old, you know?
Did you use some
I don't
mosh?
Need no broken, twisted ankles, nothing like right, that. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for rock music because I was a wrestler growing up, too, in high school.
Oh, now you tell me.
You know, so when you're lifting weights and you're running and everybody's, like, listening to Metallica,
right,
Motley Crue.
Sure.
I mean, it's just everything we listen to. And
right,
we're pumping iron, doing our thing. And so I wrestled all through high school. Then I used to even rodeo. So I was just, like, one of those really crazy motherfuckers that just almost had a death wish, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, yeah.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah, in the Navy, I used to launch aircrafts at the catapult off an aircraft carrier. I was a hookup petty officer. So, I mean, so it's just all, like, it's one of the most dangerous jobs in the whole planet. And,
and you're like, yeah, I'll do it.
I'm like, let's do it, man. And, it was... So rodeo, I used to ride bulls, and you could see me on YouTube riding one bull at least.
Oh, I gotta
and
check that
so,
out.
Yeah, it's JR Redwater rides bull. That's all you guys type.
That's gotta. How long you last on the bull?
JR Redwater rides wild Latina woman.
How long did you last on the bull?
I stuck it out, man. You know, like I had to jump off. You know,
I would imagine.
Yeah, so it was. I mean, but I was a natural at that. Cause
but not a rodeo clown, a real rodeo
no,
guy.
No, no, yeah, rodeo. Yeah. I was clowning afterwards, you know.
That's the markets of a successful ride.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You can clown afterwards and not get a bull's boot up your ass.
Well, you know, you do have groupies at the rodeos, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell me about the
rodeo
groupies.
They call them buckle bunnies, you know?
Buckle bunnies.
Yeah, really? You know? Like, they're just a bunch of girls who stand along the fence, and when you're in the chute ready to come out, like the rodeo announcer.
They're trying to get your buckle.
There's one memory, yeah, I have. The rodeo announcer, he's all... Yeah, this next cowboy, Crow Creek Cowboy, Dominic Redwater, shoot number 3. Mm-hmm. And then I just hear all these girls, woo! I'm like, oh, let me concentrate.
This is like Dallas Buyers Club without the AIDS.
Yeah, you know, it's really, they're groupies because they follow you from rodeo to rodeo every weekend. You have like maybe 3 rodeos.
Were you married
at
this time or were you single?
No, I was in high school.
Okay, so you were, that buckle was getting around.
Yeah, I wasn't real tied down much. I used to roll to these rodeos on my own, and I'm native, so everybody there is white.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
the
all my friends are
guy.
White cowboys. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like how I don't know, it's real funny, but 5-star. Great. I hope you come by.
how
I want to see you rock there,
how
Rocky.
How old is the 5-star?
Oh, started in 1971, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there's so much history there. I mean, like, the actual building, like you were saying, old hotel, and it was, like, 3 stories originally. All the other stories got burnt down.
Wow.
Original ceiling on the floor that we have, and then original floor. And then there's, like, a basement and a fight club. Scenes of Fight Club were filmed in the basement.
Ah.
And there's also...
Great movie.
Really great movie.
Do they still do the Fight Club in the basement? Like
no.
You know, so you can't say anything.
Yeah,
so who knows?
They were actually going to like film there recently for a documentary, for a student film. And I guess they weren't allowed to get like down there. It's pretty scary back there, though.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, all these, like, weird little, like, hotel, like, type of rooms, like, in the other side of the building. Mm. And then I don't know where the basement is. I don't want to go down there. There's been, like, you know, dead bodies found and stuff.
Ooh. So, yeah. Who knows what's running down there now?
Yeah, I don't want to go back there.
I just recently moved to downtown Los Angeles, yeah, and then I had walked up to the bar. And then I met Rodney. Yeah.
Right.
I met Rodney. He was bartending.
That's my boyfriend.
And I was hey, Rodney, like, just had a glass of wine because there's no liquor there for some reason. I don't know the rules or whatever.
So it's just beer,
like,
and wine?
So I was just, like, drinking wine. I was like, okay. And then he's like, we do comedy here. I was like, really? And so that's how I hooked up. And I've been there twice now.
Right.
And I love the bands that come through there. They're fucking rocking as fuck, you know? Like, I mean, they're the nicest guys, too. But when they get up there, they're like animals, you know? They're all, you know? Yeah. And I love it.
Right.
Yeah, no, I love that kind of stuff all the time. Like I said, I wanted to be a rock star.
Right, like this guy.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of groupies, you're about to go to Europe with Buck Cherry.
Yeah, that's right.
So you might get some action on that tour, I would think.
Might.
it's in November, and we're doing. I think it's 7 dates with them, and one of them already sold out. So I think we're gonna have to expand the tour. So
okay.
It's gonna be hot.
You a fan of Buck Cherry?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I went somewhere and a guy comes up to me and he says, "How you been?" And it's like, I'm thinking, who is this guy?
Right.
And he starts talking to me, and we're talking for like 5 minutes. I'm thinking, who is this guy?
Right.
So he says, I finally say, I'm dying to know who you think I am.
Right.
And he says, Buck Cherry, you're the lead singer.
Right.
So my connection with Buck Cherry is that apparently I look a little bit like
there's a slight facial resemblance. His hair is totally different.
Mine is the tattoos and the hairs.
Oh, so. You got tattoos all over yourself?
No, he does.
Oh, yeah, I know he does.
I have zero tattoos.
Yeah, you got to get on that.
No.
No, you're not going to get a tattoo?
No.
Look at this.
I know, right?
That's great. That's great.
Hey, I'm working on a half sleeve.
Look at all this. You're telling me me and the rock star are the only ones without tattoos in here?
Where's your tattoo?
I don't. I don't have any.
He's a comedian.
I'm the only one in my family that does not have tattoos. My parents have tattoos, so I've seen the future of tattoos. It's not pretty. It's so. But I was going to ask you.
Yeah, they get ugly.
I was going to ask you. Rocky Kramer can't be your real name, is it?
Well, what do you think?
That's a no.
Yeah,
so
a no.
Is Kramer from Kramer Guitars? Or?
It's a combination of things. It's Kramer from Seinfeld.
Ah.
And it's also, if you're into rock, there's a producer named Eddie Kramer. He produced Jimi Hendrix,
right.
Kiss, and
wasn't there a musical instrument?
That's a
Kramer.
Kramer guitars.
There's Kramer guitars. Yeah.
Maybe.
Also, I like the marketing on it, like Rocky Kramer, because comedy, the K is the funny letter.
Right. It always does.
Is it really?
Yeah, Rocky Kramer.
Yeah. Rocky Kramer. I just think it's a great name. It's a great name, and it looks great. If you look
right
at this
there.
Logo.
Look at it. No, the logo's great.
It reminds me of Iron Maiden's.
Like, right. You want the bop, 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 bop. You know, 1-2-1-2,
right.
Rocky Kramer.
Right.
You know?
And Rocky comes from Rocky movies?
The movies. Yeah, I love the movies growing up. I love the soundtrack.
Right, because there's a YouTube of you playing Gonna Fly Now on guitar.
Yes.
With a full band.
You know, Rocky IV is my favorite movie, which probably says a lot about
me.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
But all the movies.
Where he runs up a mountain.
So I just.
He literally runs up. No equipment, no harnesses.
He runs
up a mountain.
It may be a stupid movie, but I love it. I'll watch it over and over again.
No, I understand. No, it's funny. So,
it's my favorite movie. So.
Really? So, he beats up the Russians and you're all into it.
But when you watch that movie, don't you get excited?
No, you do.
Because, you know, he's working out. He's all muscular. It's like you want to go out and work out.
Right.
And then next morning, you don't.
No, I've got a friend. Honestly, I have a friend who works out to the Rocky IV soundtrack. He loves it.
Yeah, I actually.
I'm not kidding.
I used to do that.
There's no easy way out.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no shortcut.
I like
home.
You know, yeah.
It gets you going.
It's a great name.
So I like. Yeah, and I liked the I like the fact that the music has the energy that gets you going. So right. I wanted to use that for my music.
Right.
So if you listen to my, like, Firestorm has a lot of energy in it.
We can tell already. Now, let me ask you, because, boy, where's the time go? We're almost out of time.
It's like 2 a.m. over here.
No. But the Motley Crue movie was a big hit, and a lot of people your age, those kids, are now listening to that type of music. You think that's going to help you? You think people are coming back to real rock music?
I think the 80s are coming back. I think people love hearing the 80s because
right.
it's real music.
Right.
And I think the 80s was pretty much the end of the era where it was recorded on tape. There's a lot of reverb and a lot of synthesizers. I just think it was very nice sounding music.
Right.
And then the 90s came around and they took away the reverb. They took away all the production and made everything sound kind of plain.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the dance music came along. That was kind of, everything was very robotic. And
right.
So I just think the 80s had a lot of energy. Obviously, some of that was because of drugs. But the music videos were very fun. The music was fun.
I'm glad you hit me up with that segue because I almost forgot to ask you because I read an interview where you were at Hempfest in Seattle.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, we play there in August.
Right.
Awesome.
But they said that now... Easy, JR. Mm-hmm. Well, you said you don't smoke pot, but you are for hemp for other purposes.
Well, the thing is that...
Or do you smoke pot?
I don't.
Okay.
So now...
You don't have tattoos, you don't smoke pot.
I don't.
What kind of rock star did I book on the show?
who's this guy? Well, you got to keep in mind that my favorite band growing up was Kiss. And Gene Simmons makes a big deal out of not smoking pot, not drinking. Now I drink some, a little bit of alcohol.
Have you met Gene?
Once in a while. Well, there's a story to that too that I may not tell. I was at the Rainbow one time, and Gene Simmons and Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer were eating right next to us, because Gene was doing something for the Family Jewels at the Roxy. So they were there eating beforehand. So I got to kind of hang out with them somewhat.
How starstruck were you?
When I say I'm a big Kiss fan, I really mean I'm a big Kiss fan.
Yeah.
So
what's your favorite Kiss song?
Where do I begin? I mean,
King of the Nighttime World.
Well, that's a good one.
That's my favorite.
I mean, I think my favorite. We can say my favorite album is Kiss Alive 2.
Yeah.
And one, of course.
Yeah.
But. Both of them just have a lot of energy, which I always thought was great. But
not only is Gene there, but the two guys in the band are there.
Yeah. So it was the current lineup minus Paul.
Right.
So
I mean, bigger than Gene Simmons?
Let's hear your Gene Simmons story.
Okay, so like I'm in San Diego at this convention, the National Indian Gaming Convention. I'm there always trying to get work, but it wasn't this year, it was 2 years ago.
Right.
This past year I went there, but I didn't see Gene. And so I'm coming out of the convention floor and then I see this big tall dude with black hair, glasses, snakeskin boots,
sure.
All that. It's just really beautiful. And then I see everybody crowding around him, but he's coming by me, and I'm like, oh, that's Gene Simmons, And then I'm like dapper too, because I got to dress up for the event, and he's dressed like me. I mean, his clothes didn't come from, Ross or anything, but,
So you guys match, but you got yours at Goodwill.
His handkerchief was worth more than freaking my car and everything,
So you got the Goodwill jacket on.
Yeah. So he's, like, coming out rocking. I'm flossing, too, And then next thing you know, it's just, like, he walks by me and I do a selfie with him. He doesn't say nothing. He's just like... And he gets in a selfie like this, behind me. I'm like, yeah, fucking geez.
Did he do the song?
And then, no, he said not one word. He was like just silent freaking rock star that was still rock star doing that. I was like, I wish I was silent and still a rock star, right?
Right.
The funny thing, so I had a show that night. I was showcasing for all the Indian gaming people. And then before I went there, I had went and I was down by the where they play baseball, and I was cashing my check that they gave me, before the show.
Sure.
So then
you got to do that in comedy.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we're comedians, right? And so this girl, I'm sorry, I had to go here, but it's kind of like feels really supernatural and related. This girl jumps off this building.
What?
Like a parking garage, 7-story. I saw her and she hit the ground. And then I went over there and I was like, wow, you know? And like, I didn't know, like, what
is this
do.
Is this a Me Too story?
It is just a real story, yo.
Hashtag time's up. I mean, like, I'm like, was up there like, hey.
How after you meet the guy whose the name is the demon, and then right after you witness a suicide. Wow. And I just ran over there and I just like said a quick prayer for the lady. And I was like, oh my. And I walked away and I had to go do my comedy show after that.
Wow.
So it was like really, so you know what I did? I did this. I drank a lot of liquor before that show because it messed with my head.
It would have to be funny after that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I wonder if Gene was up there like, hey, you want to come to my car and just look it up or something? I don't know. But, you know, who knows? But, God, where's the time go? There was something else I was going to ask. But, Rocky, I think you got a big future and I definitely want to. You're going to be performing in L.A.? You're going to be doing, like, the Whiskey to Roxy and things when your album comes out?
We're looking into performing at The Grove.
Or even better. What was I saying, Whiskey to Roxy? The fuck am I thinking? Yeah. You're going to be at The Grove.
Yeah, we're going to do some local shows. We're going to probably play Vegas, like Vamped. And,
I can see that.
You know, Vamped is a cool place.
Yeah, it's a very rocking my friends place. Stitched Up Hard, I saw them play there not recently. It was great.
It's a cool place to be.
You're in a cool place right now. How excited are you? Well, whatever.
And it's a hot place too.
Yeah, that's why I'm wrapping up the show. But
Hey, I'm Indian. It's like a sweat lodge. Yeah, we're good, guys. We're good.
When you start seeing visions, that's what's gonna happen. But how after all this work, it's all coming into fruition in 2019. Your album's about to come out. How excited are you?
I'm super excited.
You've been working hard a long time for this.
It's finally happening.
And that's what I was saying. So the 80s come back, the guitar solos are coming back. I think I think you picked the right time. I think what Greta Von Fleet was for last year.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You could be for this year.
Yeah, I think they're great.
Yeah, so they're bringing back that sound. You're bringing up back this sound. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I could talk to you guys forever. But we're gonna play one of your songs when we close out. But tell everybody where they can reach you, where they can find you, social media, your website, everything.
Sure.
And join the Rocky Kramer fan club.
Yeah. If you want to join the Rocky Kramer fan club, the all you got to do is go to rockykramer.com. Rockykramer.com. That's Rocky with a Y, Kramer with a K. And you just click fan club and you can sign up and you can get all the information you want to know. There's also links there to my Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, everything is there.
Yeah.
So that's all you really need to know, rockykramer.com.
That's it. That's it. That's a one-stop shop, and you'll be able to get this album, Firestorm, there, I'm sure. And
Very soon, in August. Yeah.
In August. That's going to be the late summer soundtrack. That's going to go right in the fall in July, and then you're going to go to Europe. You're going to be here. You're going to do a West Coast tour. You're going to tour Europe with Buck Cherry and try not to get herpes when that happens and see what happens.
There's like,
try to be careful.
How many? Like 6,000 cases of measles over in.
That's another thing. Get vaccinated for the measles, too. Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, the EU. Yeah.
So, anyway, so, JR, you've been great.
And RockyRedwater.com.
Is it Rocky Redwater?
Nah. Gonna be though.
Yeah, he's changed his name to Rocky Redwater. Actually, Rocky Redwater is actually not a bad name.
Isn't that? It's got a better ring than JRRedwater.com.
Right. We're all gonna be Rocky. I'm gonna be Dark Rocky.
I lost my website, and so I only have Facebook right now. But I'm back. See, I retired, and now I'm gonna be going on tour not only with the Chiefs of Comedy, but also
Chiefs of Comedy.
You know, Darren Carter. The party starter.
I used to be his roommate.
Fuck, man.
I know that guy.
Okay,
forever.
So him and I are going on tour, and with
Darren Carter's great
with the Indian guy from not Indian like me, East Indian.
Right.
But he's
right. Not feathers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Casino, not computer.
That's the worst joke. It's the worst joke ever. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna be going on tour with him Darren. This year, right. And it's gonna be cool to like, you know, tour with a headliner, somebody you don't have to work so hard to get gigs with, you know. And
well, Darren's great.
And all they care about, the casinos, is, hey, did we see you on TV? Yeah, you did. You're booked then. Come on. I mean, they're kind of like the mob.
No, you know? I know. I've been on TV. I'm well aware.
Yeah, so
but
it's
to
great,
tell Darren
so.
I said hi. Darren, A, is cool people, and B, is one of the funniest comedians around. You're funny.
Thank you, sir.
And your styles work great together because you're low key and he's high energy. I can see
isn't
that guy
he,
being great.
He's awesome. He's the great. He's Darren. Great. I've been knowing him over 10 years. Right. Great guy. Right. So thank you for having me, JR Redwater.
Follow him on social media. Angela, you've been a delight.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. With these two chatterbox sections.
She has a show coming up.
I know. Well,
I'm getting to that. Yeah, please.
So I have a show Monday. It's going to be like a half open mic show. That's like not my typical show.
Right.
That's a different one. And then on the 26th, I'm going to have another show, kind of like Memorial Day weekend type of show.
Okay.
Bunch of different comics, up and coming, some, you know, a little more established. And it should be good. No.
And maybe you'll book Dark Mark one of these.
Yeah, gotta have you on there, bro.
Anyway, how do people get a hold of you? And besides going to the 5-star bar and tipping you very well,
probably the
well,
Insta.
I mean that's the best way.
Yes,
but Instagram, Angela Monza and 23, and then Facebook. Just like look up my name. You know, Angela Monzon, probably find me, you know.
Well, there's a lot of Angela Monzons, but there's only one you.
Yeah, there's only one of me.
Look for the tattoos and the piercings.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to talk about the piercings in the chest next time when Hannah's here and you guys can
relive. Oh, my God, I miss her. I haven't seen her in 4 years. I was like, when I walked in, I was like, wait. She's not here.
I know. Anyway,
so I hope
well,
she feels
Hannah,
better.
I'll tell you what's going to make her feel better. So we're going to play a Rocky Kramer song on the way out. what was the song called again?
Can you feel it?
Can you feel it? Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. And here it is. Can you feel it by Rocky Kramer? Bye.
But now I wish you had stayed.